Heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step and back of themselves and their slow moving.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. Text line, you want to get in touch with the program, 251-343-0106, whatever it is that's on your mind, hit me up there. Still coming on the program, Judy Barlow from the Eastern Shore Republican Women, that's in the next hour, and John Wall from the Alabama Republican Party, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, will be with us. Joining us now. And he and I are both kind of watching this from afar, but Paul DeMarco joins us on the line. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it. I guess we'll do this for sort of address the elephant in the room, the reaction to the attempted assassination. And I don't know. It feels different. I don't know what it is to be on this side of the ball and the way things are sort of going. And there's a bunch of emotional factors. But politically speaking, I haven't seen or heard about this much optimism from Republicans since I was a child.
Yeah, if we can just talk about the assassination attempt real quick. Government, how much accountability do we ever have from government? Look back to Afghanistan, those 13 soldiers and sailors. Are you aware, Jeff, of anybody that was held accountable for their deaths, the complete failure of all of that? And you had all these folks come before Congress, and we got nothing for those poor families. And here we are. There's going to be an independent investigation. We can't have a JFK investigation. There's still questions. Everything's got to be put on the table because there's just so many questions swirling around all of this. There's a lot of finger pointing. That's, you know, one thing I do hope is complete, independent, clear answers. Who failed? Who didn't fail? And accountability for so from that part. As for the election, I mean, yeah, it's been a. You look what's going on with the president is. Vice presidential pick, the dismissal of that case. I mean, yeah, he's riding high now. Thank goodness he survived the assassination attempt. But you know how politics, it can change on a dime.
Yeah, I do. But I mean, there's the one thing here is just there's no reason, I don't think, to believe that Joe Biden has like an ace up his sleeve, can pull off anything, right? I mean, he's just it's been flat for the, I guess, last 6 years, unimpressive, uninspiring. And for Biden to win, I mean it's going to really take a Hail Mary, and I don't know if they're capable of it.
Well, what's going to be interesting, Jeff, is obviously since the debate, it has been 2 weeks of hard, is he going to quit, is he going to quit? Obviously, with the assassination attempt, with the vice presidential pick by Trump, and then, you know, everything leading up to the convention this week and President Trump speaking on Thursday night. What happens on a week from today or a week from Monday? Are the Democrats back to, we can't have him as the presidential nominee? Are they back on that? Or are they just giving up on that? You know, I think that's, once we get past this week and the news cycle is looking for more food to report, are we back on that? Because the media was on all over that. I mean, they were all on board. Hey, that night, he cannot be the nominee. Are they off of it?
Well, do you think it's just so? Just look what we know right now. That Democrats are kind of like, this is the one that got away from us. You can't win. Why throw another candidate out there and make a potential, you know, future star of the party fall on the sword?
No, I don't think they're going to give up on it. And you know, somebody was asking this morning, like, about, you know, Elon Musk and his, $45 million he's putting in a month towards a PAC to support Trump? Isn't that the number I read? I said, put it towards ballot security. Because, you know, the Wisconsin Supreme Court just ruled in the past 3 weeks, they're still going to support those boxes where you can just put ballots in those boxes. So anything is possible in politics, and you've got to focus on the election. You got to focus on ballot security. You know, the polls as of last week were still closed, so I think you still full steam ahead.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, you got to keep playing. You got to play to the whistle. But I mean, just as observers here, Paul, you and I mean, would you lay a dollar down on Biden right now?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, you know, the people are talking about Tim Scott and Katie Britt, but what about the Teamsters president speaking last night? And I'm like, is he just hedging his bets? You heard him speak, or is he like reflecting what his members are telling him? Say, look, we're voting for Trump.
Right.
If, you know, you can go out there and do all that, but are his members saying we're voting for Trump? You know, he's reflecting what we want. So I thought that was an interesting, because has there ever in the history of this country a Teamsters
no
president spoken at the Republican convention? Yeah, no.
No, and on MSNBC last night, Jen Psaki said that, I mean, seeing a Teamster president speak stung a little. I think that was the way she described it. No, obviously, I think it's a big deal. I'm not so sure that if he watched it last night or not, but I don't know if I would have given the Teamsters guy that much airtime and prime time at the convention.
Well, I agree with you, and especially with some of the stuff he was saying. I mean, you know,
It wasn't okay. Exactly your standard Republican talking points. And it was also like, and you know, we don't look at party. We look at, you can't see that at a Republican National Convention, but I think Republicans in the room are just happy he was there.
Yeah, I think it's the whole theme of this presidency is the elites, it's the Hollywood, it's the media, it's you know, pro Hamas, it's what everybody's been saying, the college academics, they're all out of touch with you. Donald Trump is in touch with the average man and woman, and I think that feads into his pick of J.D. Vance. I mean, we are in touch with the average American. We take the mantle of the blue-collar worker, the average American. We've taken that from the Democrats, because look what they have done, whether it's boys playing in girls' sports, whether it's what's going on, these riots at the campuses. That's done now. We're your party. That's the thing, is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just they got a little too niche on the Democrat side. Every little special interest and trying to be, you know, with diversity being such a high ideal for the Democratic Party. Well, you can't please everybody, you know. You can't please as many people as you can, but I think this is what's going on here. They got a little too, there's just too much there, and they've left other things kind of on the burner.
Yeah, and that's why when you've looked at some of this polling and even some of the, you know, the Rust Belt that is closer, you know, the Michigans and Wisconsins and Pennsylvanias, and even they talked about New Jersey and New York, like he's pulling. Donald Trump is pulling folks that a Mitt Romney or a George Bush never pulled.
Well, tell me,
because he's connecting with them.
Yep. And I know if you're handicapping this right now, but what is that? What do you think the totals look? How about, this is the way to ask your question. What is possible here for Republicans and Trump this cycle? What states will Donald Trump, that he hasn't, historically, or Republicans haven't historically been competitive in, what's on the table, you think, here?
Well, let's look at two different things. Folks that are going to vote against Biden, and then folks are going to vote for Trump. I mean, when they're talking about New Mexico, I think the governor of New Mexico told Joe Biden, my state is in play. And that had been a red state, then it became a blue state. And when you start looking at states like Nevada, big union membership out there, but they're saying, hey, that's towards Trump. Now, Arizona, who knows? I mean, can you predict anything about Arizona?
No.
No. I mean, put Arizona aside. when you talk about states like Nevada and New Mexico, maybe George Trump, you know, they talked about Michigan. I think with everything that's going on in the Middle East, I think that's why you say, could Michigan go towards to Trump because of the anti-Joe Biden vote there in that whole Detroit and all that area. So, I mean, some folks are saying landslide. Was it after Reagan? Did I read that after the assassination attempt on Reagan? He won every state except Minnesota?
Yes.
Is that
Minnesota, D.C. went for Mondale.
I know everybody's talking landslide, but you've been covering this a long time, and like I've been watching. This is still July. There is so much that's going to happen between now and November. And look, I want to be the most optimistic person. It's over. It's a landslide election. You know, let's start talking about the cabinet. There's just too much that can happen between now and then.
I just don't know what. What can Biden do? Like, what last-ditch efforts are there? Is it going to be the policy going to be this, or are we going to just run on a national abortion ban and Project 2025 and J.D. Vance being like some kind of like Lex Luthor character? I mean, I don't think that's going to get them any votes.
No, I think they've played all those cards, and you look at 2 years ago where Democrats outperformed and Republicans didn't win what they thought they were going to win. But there is such a thing as momentum in politics. There's no question about it. I mean, at some point, then it's like, well, everybody wants to be on the winning team, which is what I thought you saw with the Teamsters last night. I mean, yeah, did he get invited by the Republicans? But I think he also see his members are for Donald Trump. And I think that's where the momentum is starting to swing. Plus, they can't forget that Joe Biden's performance in debate, and they know in the next 4 years there could, if Joe Biden were to get elected, it'd be a President Kamala Harris. Is that, do they really, they don't see that as serious? That's not a serious candidate.
I don't disagree. Maybe there's a more superficial, but I mean, there's a real problem there. The Democratic Party isn't like a Democratic Party in historical American view. It's like put all the cultural issue stuff aside. Let's pretend that the whole discussion about boys playing in girls' sports and all that's not on the table here. But you look at everything else, and it's becoming more like a European sort of left-wing socialist type of approach to policy. Just that kind of stuff doesn't do well in America, I don't think. And I think that's it becomes more focused on like the collective and the big cities and the sentiment there. And that's where you start seeing they're starting to lose a little with groups like the Teamsters or probably other unions, I would suspect.
Well, Jeff, isn't it the perfect storm of the Democrats have just gone so far left, like you described, just so far left. And then the Republicans have somebody like Donald Trump who really taps into that average man populism. And so between the two of those, it puts the Republicans in a very good position to win the presidency, take back the Senate, and keep the House with both how far left the Democrats have gone and then how Donald Trump is like, this is about you. It's not about political issues. I'm just about you. I'm about you and your family and your job and taking care of the economy, and I love America. So that's – look at Ronald Reagan and after President Carter. I mean, isn't that kind of what Reagan did? Like, you know, this country's great.
Yes.
And it pulled all those folks back after the 70s. I mean, there really is a look back, some similarities. Not saying everything, but some similarities there.
But we were due a correction here, and I get in trouble for saying this, but I continue to say this on my show all the time. I still think of it as a pendulum swinging back and forth, and maybe with the pendulum this time you had some forces holding it, trying to keep it from swinging the other direction, but inevitably the pendulum does go back to the other side. It's always trying to achieve some kind of equilibrium, and there's sort of a correction right now that the Democrats, that left side of the aisle, has way overreached here. And Paul, I mean, think about Joe Biden himself. Yeah, he's a traditional Democrat, but like he was never like the far left flank of the Democratic Party in the 80s and 90s. And even in the 2000s, and as Obama's running mate, this whole like wokeism that is within the federal government now, Paul, I think is sort of a new development, a new sort of, it's not a, if you take Biden pre 2019, say, it's not something that you would associate with him.
No, he was more like some of the centric Republican candidates we've run in the past. And that's why they're really, is it George Wallace that said there's not a dime's worth of difference between Republicans and Democrats? Yeah. Well, there is. You can clearly see the difference now. And if you didn't have Donald Trump running and you had some of the past candidates running, people could have said, well, there is a difference, but it's really just not that. There's such a stark difference, such a stark difference. I think that's why we are where we're at now with the popularity of Donald Trump and why people are talking. I'm again, until I see it, I believe this is going to be a landslide, that he's going to win 49 states or 48 states or 47 states. I'm not there yet. I want to believe it, but I'm just not there yet.
I think it's, and the way we ought to look at it, Paul, is it's possible, right? I'm not going to say that it is a lock, but you would never have said it was possible with Trump the last two times, with Mitt Romney, with John McCain, with George W. Bush. You never would have said such a landslide is possible. We're sitting here today on July 16, 2024. And that there is a possibility, at least, of a landslide at this point.
Well, you mentioned something earlier, and again, the unity in Milwaukee. And again, I still think Nashville was dumb for not having this convention in the world eyes of the world looking at Nashville. But when there's Chicago, when Joe Biden's trying to win the middle, and he's got a room full of folks saying, "No, no, 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 we're not in the middle. We're as far left." I mean, Bernie Sanders and all, and AOC. And you've got the protesters for pro-Hamas and all that. There's going to be everybody's going to be watching the Democratic convention like, is this what we're looking for? Because how does Joe Biden swing to the middle when everybody around is saying, no, 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 no? That's going to be the contrast that we're all going to be watching between the Republican convention, right, where they prayed for the hostages in Israel. They're not going to do that at the Democratic convention.
It's the exact thing they attack Republicans for. That the Republican Party cares too much about their right, too much about the Tea Party, too much about the far right flank, and this is, they're afraid of losing those guys on the left.
That's exactly right, and that's why he's going to be told swing to the middle, but he can't. They boxed him in. They're not going to allow him to do that.
Paul, I got to leave it there. We're out of time, but I always appreciate you making time for us, and let's talk again soon.
Hope your listeners have a great day. Thank you.
Paul DeMarco, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.